The University Tower chimes, ringing another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with the University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my right, it's Heather Hill Vasquez.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm okay.
What do you think about the new version of Dave's melting professor pictures?
I like them both very much. They seem very accurate.
That it helps your petition to get Briggs air conditioned. I said it as loud as I could in front of the
that board. One's got the vapors.
Actually, I was a little unsure about that.
Yeah,
but,
I know. You know, but
like I said, I can come up with something a little bit more PC if you need to. So
this is plenty PC. I don't PC. See there's anything.
If you take the negative of this image, they can be like fighting like lightsabers.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah, turn them around.
Give me
time
tonight.
Or magic wands.
Magic wands. Okay.
Wizard fight. That's how we wizard teach, fight. Isn't it? I mean, yeah. You know, magic wands.
With the pointers.
I know, the pointers. Remember the days of the pointers?
The wow. Professor Ressa's pointer is on fire, whereas the male professor, or just
it's
professor,
not
is not on fire.
Oh, it's just a stick.
No magic.
Joe Abbasett is here with us. Did you ever have a professor in your undergraduate or graduate days that used the wooden pointer? Because I actually had one.
No.
I had one.
Oh.
No.
Not on
I did.
So. You
I
had
did,
one?
Yeah.
Yep, I had one, too.
What were they pointing to?
Things on the board.
They wrote everything on the board and then pointed to it.
But now that you mentioned it, I'd like to get one.
A pointer?
I think it'd be cool. Yeah. You need one of the ones that's like the size of a pencil and then it like extends.
With the telescope's out?
You know? Yeah. That'd be nice.
Basically, you need a lightsaber.
I know.
Exactly. Thanks for the idea.
Lightsabers on the brain, let me tell you. Unbelievable. Dan Maggi was here thinking probably about lightsabers and pointers at the same time.
I was thinking about former professors here.
Oh,
when you
yes.
mentioned the wooden pointer on the board.
Well, I don't want to get him in trouble, and I'm not making fun of him, but he still works here in my department. John Stevens teaches general and physical chemistry,
yeah.
And when we had green boards in our big lecture hall, he used a pointer all the time. But he doesn't anymore because we have whiteboards. I don't know why that changes things.
Yeah, I could see in 114, I could see
yeah,
him using
because
a pointer.
You would move one of the boards up,
yeah.
And then you would want to
right.
do stuff
point
like
at the
this,
upper
you know?
So.
You know, there are classrooms in Briggs that still don't have whiteboards.
I am aware of that. And mm-hmm. I am, frankly, thinking of the world of green chemistry and sustainability, mm-hmm. More worried about the marker boards than I am about the chalkboards. But
now, I have a question.
We have several in life science that
so this
don't
is
have
the way
either.
For Detroit Mercy to become a green campus. It's just not to replace the chalkboards.
Go back to chalk.
No.
Go back
what,
to chalk.
What happens to all that marker grit?
What happens to all the chalk grit? The only difference is now I have a marker handprint on my butt instead of a chalk handprint on my butt.
Well, the chalk handprint you can just brush off.
You can just
off.
Always, just
I'm
always
sure
wear white
both
pants.
Decorative.
Always right. wear white pants.
Or skirts or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Beth Oljar is across the table from me.
Hey, I am.
Closer to others. Good to see you again, Beth.
Good to see you.
Continuing around the table, Jim Tubbs.
Yes, continuing.
Oh,
here
you
I
got
am.
A straw and you were.
I'm here. I'm continuing. It's my pointer stick. Yeah.
He's like Arthur Fiedler here.
Oh, my gosh. That's awesome. So you can remember a professor with a pointer?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. What course?
Biology.
How interesting.
Mm-hmm.
As we continue around the table, we end up with some biology. It's Professor Stephanie Conant.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm finally here this semester.
We're glad to have you. You have a busy
right.
teaching schedule Friday
I
afternoons.
Do.
Everybody else is off partying, but you're talking articles, you know?
She's talking
right.
social and ethical implications.
Right. Except yes. for the day where I have Dr. Tubbs come and talk.
Yes.
But that's long gone.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Drew loves everything you post on Facebook. He reads me everything.
Before you came, I think it was Dan said, I think that Stephanie's family is the funnest family that's ever existed.
It's a Facebook, you know, yeah. everything's
and
great
And what
on
happened
Facebook,
to your brother on Facebook, doggone it?
He's too good for Facebook.
Oh, I know, yeah.
They're very snooty and too good for They're on
gosh.
Instagram.
Yeah, see, Stephanie's brother is one of my students.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I forgot
and sister-in-law.
That.
Yeah.
So we have hierarchies in social media? I don't use any social media. I don't think email counts. So,
yeah. So my brother and sister-in-law both went to CCS.
Mm-hmm. Oh. And their brothers and sister-in-law. Yeah, they're.
Well, I'm going to have to attempt to friend you on Facebook so I can
find
out what's going on at your house.
Twins.
Speaking just from a very baseline view of what Stephanie's like, life is like in some way,
right.
when you have three boys,
mm-hmm.
young boys living with you every day
yes.
is quite an adventure.
We try to laugh at them a lot instead
yeah.
of cry.
Yeah.
Antics.
You,
it's better
you,
to
you dehydrated,
and that's
right?
so much better than violence.
But the first time right? you get a text from your kid, it's kind of weird, right?
It was weird, and yes. now he just, yeah. He'll either not respond at all or just argue with me about how much he wants McDonald's. And I'm like, no.
There's nothing wrong with that, I have to say.
What I got is, so Emmett is now, you know, 6 or 7 weeks into kindergarten, my five-year-old, and I'm going to pick up the other two from practice. Leslie's not in the car. Bottom line, you have your five-year-old in the kid seat behind you. So we are listening to some music or whatever, come to a stop. Dad, I'm raising my hand. Emmett?
I called on him.
Okay, so this is what we did at school today. Like, okay,
that's
it's
good.
Really catching on, you know?
My 5-year-old came home the other day and told me that he really needed a girlfriend to kiss at recess. He is also 5 in kindergarten. Oh, and I said, it's really not necessary. And he's like, it is. I don't just want a friend. I need a girl I can kiss at recess. And
if
I was
that on Facebook, Drew would have said, that is great. Because he never had a period in his life where he thought girls were icky. He always thought girls were great.
Well, schools are kind of touchy about...
No pun intended.
Oh. I said, I guess this is where we start talking about consent and stuff. Oh. I don't know. I was like, I'll give you kisses. He's like, I don't want mom kisses. I want a girlfriend kiss at recess. And I was like,
Can we get him a prenup? Oh.
We don't want him to become a little Donald Trump, so consent would be a good discussion.
Yeah. Yes.
Let's talk consent.
Over my dead body.
They're never.
Yeah.
They are never too young.
No orange man in your house.
No. What?
We've already heard the voice of Dave Chow. I don't want to skip over you, but we know you're here.
Oh, man. Pleasure to be here. I don't have to worry about kids all over my house. So.
Oh, not until Halloween.
I can drop mine off.
No, it's okay. I've got a large yard I can pen them in eventually. So, I mean, if you want.
We should do a gorilla surprise of, like, your three boys and my three boys. And, like, Dave, we're going out for dinner.
Right.
So we'll be back in a little while.
Sure,
I'll see how that goes.
As soon as I put the fence up in my yard, we'll just pen them down. And, you know.
I have a message to deliver.
Super great.
Our erstwhile panelist, Miss Diane C. Manica, says hi to everybody.
Oh, she has just
closed on a new condo she's building in Mesa, Arizona, yesterday.
Another one in the Manica compound?
It is the Manica compound. Oh. But I helped pick out the lot. She's got a great lot looking back up in the mountains.
So she's having it built.
It's built. She closed on it yesterday.
To her specifications.
Yes, exactly.
Cool.
She's having the window hangings done today.
Where?
So the glazier is there.
No, the shade hanging people. Oh, electric shade hanging
Nobody calls
people.
Them that anymore.
Does she have like the clapper just for her shades?
I hope not. Oh, my Lord.
They are the factory, after all. Take a look, folks. This is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump our panel, you win a prize. If you don't stump the panel, you win a prize. And send the questions to us in a number of ways.
You're doomed to a prize.
You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. Reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/ATP or find us on Facebook. When last we had our heroes together, we were doing some questions from Kimberly Richards all about Halloween. It's kind of a fun little bit because everybody knows there's a 1 in 28 chance of this happening. In what year next will a full moon occur on Halloween? It's not 2017.
2023.
No, it says 2020. Do you remember the last full moon before that? I actually will always remember when the last full moon was before that.
Yes.
Because? Why do you remember it?
Because of what year it was.
1992?
It was not.
2000.
2000. It was 2001. It was about a month after...
Space Odyssey.
Yes, about a month after 9/11. The next full moon after 2020 won't occur until 2039. Takes a few years off.
We'll get ready for that one.
Let's see. What Halloween movie role did Leonardo DiCaprio turn down in favor of his role in What's Eating Gilbert Grape? This is fantastic.
Gilbert, in light of a recent announcement. Real young.
Yeah, he was very young. He was a boy.
Okay. So it was a Halloween type movie.
It was probably in the early 90s.
Early 90s. We're getting there.
Robin.
Nope. Was he supposed to play Michael Myers?
No, because he would be sort of a pint-sized Michael Myers in that case. Yeah.
So what movie would he play?
Babyface Michael Myers.
Was it a scary Halloween movie or a fun Halloween movie?
It was going to be Chucky.
It was fun.
Like some Tim Burton Hotel Transylvania?
Mm-hmm. Nope. I could tell you that it was a Disney product. That's pretty fair.
It wasn't
Maleficent?
The Bette Midler movie.
Hocus Pocus.
Yeah, he was going to be the boy.
Bull
of Boy in Hocus Pocus, which they just announced that they're... Remaking.
Why are they remaking? Because Louis just watched the old movie.
Hey, by the way, mind you, Jason isn't here, but did you hear Coming to America is being remade? Or no, sequel. gosh. He's going to love that.
My generation is ruining.
Just ruining Hollywood. It's just horrible.
I don't understand this.
Oh, my gosh.
Although I did hear that.
I don't understand all the remakes. I'm with you on there.
Oh, what's the Harrison Ford movie? Blade Runner. Actually, the reviews for that, they said it was better than the old, which I find hard to believe.
Well,
so it's rare that a remake is better.
Have you tried to watch the original Blade Runner recently?
Yeah, not recently.
I've never seen it.
With the original ending?
It's been a long time.
That is interesting.
Not interesting in the very. That's interesting. You can't get into it?
I like it.
But I know it ranks really high.
After the first half hour, I'm like, I don't, these characters are not.
The book is actually better than the movie.
Well, have you guys read the book?
Yeah.
No.
The book is good.
No. Oh, the book is, wow.
Oh, is one of your, is it a favorite or?
Oh, I don't know if it's a favorite, but it's.
It's better than the movie.
It's better than the movie. Okay.
And the director's cut's actually better than the cinematic release.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say.
Was
the
Kubrick
director's
for the
cut.
The original? Who was it?
No, it's one of the Scotts. Ridley Scott.
But the thing was, they had Deckard doing the voiceover during, and they never had.
Right. And then they made a happy ending. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's.
Oh, interesting.
The ending that went out was not the original.
We all know, speaking of Halloween icons, that Linus waits all night in the pumpkin patch for Halloween for the arrival of the great pumpkin, but who does he ultimately mistake for his idol?
Snoopy.
Snoopy. Just a dumb dog standing there.
Remember he rises up. It's very funny.
Yes. Did he leave us presents? Oh, man. That actually makes my heart swell. I can't wait to watch it again. Maybe tonight. What is the weight? Let's say the mass, shall we, Professor Conan? The mass of the world's biggest pumpkin of all time, 2014. How many pounds?
700 pounds.
No, it's over 25. 1,000. It's over 1,000.
Yeah, I remember.
900.
It's over 1,100.
I want to say it was like 2,200 pounds.
I'm giving it to you. 2,324 pounds. As much as a compact car.
Radioactive.
Yeah, something
Man,
like that.
Man, did you ever see, there was a special on PBS, they talked about the giant pumpkin growers.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That thing was amazing.
Wait a minute, are the pumpkins giant? Or are the growers giant?
Their entire growing season is just on one pumpkin.
It's just on one pumpkin.
Give a diameter.
Thank you for noticing that.
I'm trying to see here. It just says the size of a small car and who the runner-ups were. Until we had reached the 2,000 limit, the world record holder for several years was 1,500 pounds, going back to 06.
Can you imagine carving that thing?
That's incredible.
What do they do with it?
Yeah, chainsaw.
What do you do with it?
Travel with it and show it off.
Put wheels on it and drive it around.
You shellac it and you make it a lawn ornament.
You have to get a crane and put that on a truck.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do.
Lots of canned pumpkin.
But they do that for, like, festivals. Yes.
You could make
pumpkin pie. The biggest pumpkin pie.
My guess is it would make terrible pies.
Yeah.
That's my guess.
Oh. Too grainy.
Talus.
Too orange.
Not enough whipped cream.
Do you know the origin of jack-o'-lanterns?
No.
Correct. Moving on.
Well, you put them in windows to scare off.
That is for sure.
Spirits, right? Evil spirits.
Mm-hmm. It's an Irish legend.
Yep.
About Stingy Jack. He basically leaped off both God and the devil. So forevermore, he needs to walk the earth, waving his lantern to lead people away from their paths. Hmm. Yeah, he made God and the devil angry. He's a real big jerk.
It'd be interesting to know exactly how that was managed, but okay.
Well, he was really, really mean. And in the story, he's very, very mean to his wife, so that made God angry.
Okay.
And then when he met the devil, he apparently is smarter than the devil, and he said, hey, if you turn into a sixpence and jump in my pocket, then I can buy us both beers. This is the serious story. And you can turn back into the devil, and we get it for free because we never had the money to start with. But he had a crucifix in his pocket, so the devil couldn't turn back into himself. So then the devil got really cheesed off.
Oh, and you know this whole story.
Well, I've read many versions of it.
Well,
I live it every day.
The devil is actually Viggo Mortensen.
Oh, that's right.
That's who plays him in the prophecies.
That's right. Absolutely true. percentages, please. Let's see if we can do this mathematically, even if Kendra's not here. Percentage of children under the age of 12 that go out trick-or-treating.
Under the age of
47.
12. 70.
Very low. Everything you have is low. 82. It's higher than 85.
90.
It's 93%.
93%.
Percent of adults US, who confess. Right? This is the U.S. Sorry. Percent of adults who dress up for Halloween.
Too many.
65%.
21.
16%.
It's higher.
42.
I'm giving it to you. 50% of adults.
Good
dress
grief.
Up.
Okay, now does that really just dressing up or showing up at my
that's
doorstep?
Embarrassing.
Every dressing up. Every year on the sports radio that I listen to, the one really angry guy in the afternoon cannot handle that the people in the office dress up. Yeah. Are we adults? Are we adults? He just screams and screams at them. I can't believe you came dressed as a shark.
One year, our whole department dressed up as students.
That was
good.
And we
got to wear pajama pants and hoodies and Uggs to work.
I remember that.
It was awesome.
I remember that. Percentage of Americans who do at least one thing, which they call decorating their house for Halloween.
You mean like changing out the toilet paper doesn't count?
38%.
I'd say 75.
It's very high. It's 86%. Yeah, 86%. This is
I
sort of like
a pumpkin outside. That's it.
Like one
well,
thing.
That counts. See,
one
thing. Or hang a wreath.
Oh. Yeah.
We've had this one before, but it always brings quite a chuckle. Percentage of parents who admit to sneaking at least one candy from their kids.
100%. Come on.
That's just okay. Under 100%.
In the Mayo household, it's 200%, right?
Well, the Mayos are very smart. We only buy the candies that we would eat if they were left over. What? So then when we get our paltry number of 40 trick-or-treaters every year.
Will you please come 40? To my house and help me out?
Seriously.
Around where we go, too, it's, I think, Ron, who works here, Puttervice, he said over 1,000 kids last year.
Unreal. Yeah, I mean, those big 300-piece bags of candy. I go through three of those in 3 hours.
Yeah.
Wow.
Everybody decorates their house.
I was at Target yesterday, and I saw a big sign that said, you know, on one side, trick-or-treat, and on the other side, it said, out of candy. I almost got it for you.
I have to go to well, we do put up a sign when we've run out of candy that say goblins ate all the candy, but we basically have to go to Costco to get Halloween candy because shopping at Meijer is not going to do it. And of course, we get the good candy.
Yeah.
So I finally figured out when all of these kids kept telling me, we really like your house. I'm like, what?
Jolly Ranchers.
You've
seen my house. Oh, you like that I give you Skittles.
Yep. Yeah.
Nice. Nice. Skittles, no
and
less.
And Nerds and little Milky Way bars.
Do kids like
the
Skittles?
Good stuff.
Yeah, Reese's Pieces.
Stuff.
I thought that was the jokes.
We used to, when I was a kid, we used to meet at the corner and say, you know, that third house down there, they have full-size candy bars or
they're
whatever.
Not going to make Reese's Peanut Butter Cups for much longer.
I thought that was a lie.
No, that is a lie.
That's a lie.
That's a lie.
What's
I checked it out.
Fake news.
Yep.
Consider the uprising if they stop making.
It's the Russians that put it
there was an uprising when McDonald's said no more orange drink for like a week.
Well,
and everybody's like, bleh.
I agree with that a little bit. They have Orange Fanta now.
They have
I saw that. Mm-hmm.
Which
not
isn't
quite
the
same.
It's no, it's not. I don't
care if you mix your
Hi-C
with Sprite. It's still not the same.
A lucky number 13 from Kimberly, and then we're all set with these Halloween questions. Which country is attributed with the first in print use of the phrase trick or treat?
I say U.S.
It's not the United States.
England.
Canada.
It's not England. It's Canada. Absolutely. Alberta, Canada.
Canada.
Yes. From November 4th, 1927, in the newspaper.
Okay.
Well, when my dad was a kid, they did a lot of tricks on him.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, but those tricks were like toilet paper and soaping windows,
no.
Right? No?
Uh-oh.
No. Putting somebody's car up on a telephone pole. There was some pretty wild.
How do you what with a crane? I mean,
no, with enough people.
Yeah, it could be done.
Wow,
we've moved.
How
cars
high
up
is the telephone? I'm not visualizing.
Do you
this.
Literally mean balanced on top of it?
No, like pulled up,
hanging.
You know, with,
Okay.
Got it.
Physics
now
it
makes more sense.
Physics.
Yeah,
where's Prasad when we need him? Yeah. All right, we're moving on to a new set of questions from the one, the only, Mr. Frank Burrows. Warmest wishes, as always, from Valencia, California.
Yeah, we're pretty toasty.
Yay,
here too.
Valencia.
As the end of summer looms, I've decided to pen a handful of questions with a theme. So rarely do I do this. It was kind of neat doing some of the research. But what theme? Well, I've decided to do a series of questions based on nicknames. Since doing the research on this topic, I've grown to appreciate how wonderful and creative the English language can be. Some of the nicknames are obvious, some are mean, and most are hilarious. I hope the panel enjoys this theme, too. Thanks, Frank. Let's see what we can do here. Who was known as the Colossus of Clout?
Colossus of Clout?
Like Warren Buffett?
No. Colossus of Clout is a baseball nickname.
Oh, wow. Where's Jason? Yeah.
Babe Ruth?
Babe Ruth. Yeah, where's Al Fresco? Al Fresco. The Colossus of Clout.
Okay.
Who is known as King of the Clarinet?
Benny Goodman.
That's not what it says here.
Big Spider-Man.
Mm-mm. Artie Shaw? Mm.
It says Artie Shaw.
Artie Shaw. Okay.
One of the two. And you guys hit all the big three in the clarinet world.
Not me when I was in high school.
Licorice stick.
But perhaps
Kendra. I tried. Maybe Kendra.
Oh, that's true.
I only confessed to our freshman today
Kendra
that she was a music major in
to.
Undergrad.
Oh, yeah.
What southern city was once named, oh my, the city too busy to hate?
Atlanta.
Yes, that was Atlanta, Georgia.
Wow.
Yeesh. Yeah.
Well,
that was like the 1970s.
Kind of come out.
They said it was the end of Jim Crow. Yeah, so, yeah. That's
they've had pretty explosive development in Atlanta in the last few decades. Yeah. So
the airport is like extraordinarily busy, right?
The busiest in the world.
The busiest in the world. This will dedicate to our long past panel host, Kathy Bush. Could you name all four members of the Detroit Red Wings production line?
Gordie Howe.
Ted Lindsay.
Sid Abel. And Alex Delvecchio.
That was the first two
production lines.
Huh. Yes, the first of two.
And
the second
other one
it says here is Howe, Delvecchio.
Pete Mihaljevic.
Yes, that's right.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, well done. Red Wing geek.
Encyclopedic hockey mind.
Yes. I just happen to be a hockey geek. I'm sorry.
Good. That's good.
What U.S. city's nickname is the Neon Babylon?
Vegas.
It's a good guess, but it's just near Vegas.
Reno?
It's Reno is what it says. Yeah, I've never been to
There's
Reno.
There's more neon in Reno than Vegas. That'd be hard to imagine.
Yikes. What southern city is nicknamed the capital of southern hospitality?
Capital of...
It's in the Carolinas.
Oh, Jim?
Raleigh?
Columbia.
It's not Raleigh. It's Columbia is what it says. Yeah. Well, is this true?
No, I don't think so.
The two cities I named were in the Carolinas. How could
Very well done. Very well done.
The other one.
The other one.
The other one.
Well, Columbia wouldn't have occurred...
The capital. Right?
No, I would have thought Charleston
something
long before
southern,
yeah. long
with
before
the long
Columbia.
Yeah.
What city is sometimes called the Venice of Japan?
Tokyo.
Yokohama.
Oops.
If you take that joke way too far, you end up with the correct answer.
Hiroshima?
It's Hiroshima. Yeah.
I was going to say. Yeah.
So, way to go.
Excuse me while I pull my shoelaces
was
out of my mouth.
Was it the Venice of the North before, you know, we paid our little visit?
Created a few more canals.
Yeah, right. Did we make it the Venice?
Look, we'll go equal time here, since every Detroiter knows one of Detroit's major nicknames is the Paris of the North, Paris of the West, because of all our Art Deco. Mostly people from across the country who hear that think it's a giant joke. But it is true that we are an Art Deco capital.
Mm-hmm.
If we actually keep the buildings
exactly.
up.
Yeah.
What NFL franchise is known by hardcore fans as the Yucks?
The Yucks. The Packers?
How's that spelled?
Oh, Y-U-C-K-S. Yucks. As in they're not playing very well.
Jets.
Not the Jets.
Good guess.
Rhymes with a nickname for their nickname.
Buccaneers?
The Buccaneers, yeah. The Yuccaneers. Very funny. Where is the barbed wire capital of the world? Maybe if I just give you the state. If you give me the state, that'd be good.
Iowa?
It's
Texas.
Not Iowa.
California?
Nope.
Not Texas?
No.
But Montana.
They make it, or
it's Midwestern.
They have the most.
I think they make it there.
Oklahoma.
Arizona.
Pennsylvania.
Still haven't heard it.
Indiana.
Michigan.
Illinois.
It says Illinois. It's DeKalb, Illinois.
I thought you said the West.
I've lived there.
Midwest. Oh, Midwest. Yeah. So Arizona's not in the middle.
I never heard of it.
I've heard this before. It's extremely tongue-in-cheek, and we can take it any direction we want to. What U.S. city was once called in the press Hollywood for ugly people? Don't think too hard.
Washington, D.C.
Washington, D.C., yes, absolutely.
The course, they show it, is it the press dinner or the White House Correspondents dinner that they say it's like prom for ugly people?
Yeah, exactly. That's it. Yeah. Oh, that's it. Yep. Absolutely. What playing card is called the Scourge of Scotland?
We've had this question
yeah,
before.
Yeah, we have.
Queen of Hearts.
It's actually a number card, and it doesn't have a specific suit, which is kind of weird.
What?
So it's just the number?
It's just the number for whatever reason. I've heard it before, but I don't know what its
seven,
source is.
Seven, but it'll have a suit.
It's actually nine.
Nine?
Nine is the Scourge of Scotland. Okay. I don't know what to tell you.
There are four nines, so it's not like it doesn't have a suit.
It's just
the
weird.
Four Scourges.
Yeah, the four Scourges, exactly. In the game of poker, what two cards are you dealt if you were served and, quote, Alan Alda, unquote?
Ooh.
Two aces.
Yeah.
Two
aces. That's right. Yeah. Now that one makes sense. Scourge of Scotland. Oh, my God. William Wallace. What's the nickname?
Never take our freedom.
I picked the 9 and it comes out with the blue face paint, like on the, you know, it's like, oh God, what's happening here? Let's see. Okay. Dedicated fans of Gone with the Wind call their fan club this. Wow. It must have been a slow day at the nickname factory.
The Vapors.
I love the Vapors.
That would be great. But no, this is far, far more elementary.
What, damn Yankees?
The Goners? The Winders?
The Windies. They call themselves
the Windies. I think maybe Dave said that already.
Well, actually, that is the Vapors.
I like the Vapors better.
No, that's true. No, that's true. We're still in a gaseous form. You know,
it's actually a good book.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's kind of a silly movie, right?
I think the book is better.
Okay.
Even though...
I like the music in the movie, though.
Yeah, that's true.
And Clark Gable. I mean, why she is into Ashley Wilkes when she's got Rhett Butler just utterly escapes me. But she figures it out in the end.
Because Ashley is a loyal Southern gentleman.
Speaking of
but
the
he's
Vapors.
Got Olivia de Havilland, right?
Yes. Ew. And ick.
I like Melanie. Don't you knock Melanie.
Oh, you're not knocking. You're knocking Olivia or Melanie?
Mm. Melanie.
Okay, you're knocking Melanie. Okay. Don't knock Olivia de Havilland.
Which U.S. president had the nickname Ole Sink or Swim?
Sink or
way,
swim.
Way back.
Way, way back.
Was George Washington?
It wasn't Washington.
It was one
Jefferson.
Adams?
It was Adams. It was John Adams. Yeah.
And where did that come from?
That's a good question.
Old Sink or Swim.
And I feel like I'm channeling you, Jim, because I guarantee you were a big fan of that John Adams series. Did you watch it?
Mystery porn. It's so
I love it.
I never saw it. I never saw it. But Paul Giamatti, I mean, come on, you know?
When they depicted somebody getting tarred and feathered, I almost turned it off. That was gruesome.
Really?
It's in the first episode.
But the scene where they realize they're standing in Independence Hall and they've just gotten the news from King George that, like, yeah, when we catch you, you're going to be drawn and quartered if you sign the Declaration of Independence.
Cool.
And they're all sitting there
it's
like,
good
yeah, we're really doing this amazing thing.
Yeah, it was
thing.
Well done. Paul awesome. Giamatti did a great job.
Yeah, I teared up when I was in Independence Hall.
Which Canadian city has this nickname? The city of newlyweds and nearly deads.
Montreal.
Victoria.
It's Victoria. Now, why the heck is it Victoria?
Because Victoria is like the Miami Beach of Canada. It's where all the old people
but
go.
But it's a wonderful town.
It is.
I love Victoria.
And there's no snow. Like lots of old people.
Mm-hmm. That's true. There's a
lots
lot
of black squirrels.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
That's where my grandparents ended up.
And
in Victoria.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. How stereotypical.
And four there, too. I mean, you know, they always... That's the place to go.
Oh, unfortunately, we're almost done with the questions, but they're going to have to wait till next time, Frank. Thanks for sending them in. It's time for us to say goodbye, Professor Chow.
See ya.
Professor Conan.
Goodbye.
Professor Tubbs.
Bye.
Professor Oljar.
I'm going to loan you John Adams.
Professor Maggio.
Goodbye.
Professor Abbasid.
Take care.
Professor Hill Vasquez.
Goodbye.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Tweet to us on Twitter @AskTheProfessor or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the University Library Building on the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor today is produced and directed by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.